like to say good morning to you, everybody. And first, glory be to God for allowing us to rise and see another beautiful day. For we live on His time, not our own. He is the one that breathed the breath of life into man, thus making him a living soul. Thus we do not awake on our own power, but His. And the one thing I really am appreciative to Kevin and Eddie is that they started something that was small, and it's grown so much. And we have that desire to spread the gospel. We must have desire in order to complete a work. If we don't have any desire to do any work, the work will not get completed. And that's why I'm so happy when Kevin talks about this last year about having a lectureship. And it's hard to believe how much time has passed, and here we are today, and the lectureship has started. And it's so wonderful to see so many that I know their names, but I didn't have a face to place with the names. But now every time I get on the internet and I post, I say, okay, I remember what they look like. I remember how they sound. I can put a voice and a face to that post. I can see them actually speaking to me. It is wonderful, wonderful. That he enabled us to come from far and wide or just next door, like Oklahoma or from Brazil. And it's just wonderful that we can come together and say, I already knew who you were. I didn't need to see the face. I didn't need to see a person, but I knew who you were. The same way as with Christ. We know who Christ is. We have not seen Christ. We have not seen God, but we know who they are. And that's where our desire and our zeal to serve God and our Savior come from. Zeal is said to be an enthusiastic devotion to a cause or an ideal or a goal, and to have diligence in its furtherance. We read in Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20. Christ tells his apostles, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. When we talk about evangelizing, which simply means spreading the gospel, we in the Church of Christ usually create a picture of the minister preaching or teaching to those that don't know God's word, or maybe some that have just accepted Christ and are now babes in the church, and they just now are learning who the Lord and Savior is. While we all can admire the one who has a strong faith, active in their work to the church, and we even use the examples of the apostles and the disciples who laid the foundation for the church, Ephesians 2, verse 20, some of us forget that the command applies to each and every one of us who are a part of the body of Christ. And we should be zealous, meaning desirous of a work. But yet, the range of zeal among Christians often varies widely. Consider your level of zeal and the simple commands given to us as Christians. Where do you fit in? Some are hot. They're filled with great zeal. They attend the services regularly. They're willing to make sacrifices and with their time and their finances. They study the Bible diligently, studying daily. They constantly are teaching and inviting others to come so they may know the Lord and come to love Him as we love Him. Yes. Others become lukewarm. They're filled with just a feeling of obligation. I just better go just to go. They attend the services haphazardly. They are giving their leftovers to the Lord. They're neglecting the opportunities to study when the opportunity arises. They perform little personal work or church work for Christ. But now, some, they even become cold or dead to Christ. They have quit the services altogether. They are covetous with their time and finances. Their Bibles, they're now collecting dust from lack of use. And finally, they have become ashamed of the church and of the gospel of Christ. The world would have some believe that someone with zeal is only after something for themselves. But godly zeal is not the pursuit of popularity. And it is not the need to be the first and the best. Because those things lead to self-centeredness and self-indulgence. We should have the zeal to spread the gospel. But you know what? If we do so in a godly manner, that will not only benefit us, but everybody in this world.
Amen.
But what does this word zeal have to really do with us? And evangelizing to the world. What does all of this have to do with our neighbors, our friends, our co-workers? On the day of judgment, only that our goals as Christians should be the same. That is, we should be so eager and so excited about the salvation that we have access to. We are not only willing, we are so eager to tell others about it. Why should our zeal to spread the gospel be any less than those of the first century church? And they faced more challenges than we will ever face. We are blessed to be in a country where we don't have to worry about being downstairs, being hidden, just to study God's word, and worry about men coming through the doors to take us away. It was recently in Singapore, there was a group of people studying the Bible, and they were arrested. They were thrown in prison. They were fined. Their minister was jailed for many months, all because they desired to study the Bible. They wanted to know God. But we are blessed so much in this country that we are blessed to be in. We don't have to worry about that. But our zeal is down. Why is that? It is not enough to win people by example. Though that is certainly a noble idea. Some people will not respond unless they see what the gospel has done for us in our lives. But the fact is, our example will only win people if they know who we are. And we only wear the name Christian. We cannot simply expect them to assume that we are Christians. How will they know what we are unless we go to them and teach them about God and His Word? And God knows who needs His Word. But we have to have that zeal to go and teach. Then God can only add who should be added. Acts 2 verse 47. But once again, like Philip was sent to the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts 8, God sends to those who do not understand God's word. And we must be ready to have that zeal and desire to preach God's word. To be zealous is to be in a state of being that can be expressed in different ways. It can be an earnest desire. You know, when I was a young boy, I remember the many gospel evangelists that I listened to, and they were so commanding with their message. I was intrigued to listen. I didn't understand everything they had to say. There were some things that went right over my head. But I knew the truth, and I knew what was the truth. So I became eager to listen. After listening to the truth, I became eager to help spread the word. And the same was true in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 2. Paul wrote to them and commended them on their zeal. There was no question about their willingness. From the time they heard the gospel, they had shown zeal and earnestness. In fact, Paul boasted about them to the Christians in Macedonia. He told them that Achaia was ready a year ago. Achaia, the southern part of Greece, is used here to refer to Corinth, since Corinth was located there. And when the Macedonians heard that the Christians had been ready for a year, many of them, the Macedonians, they were stirred up. They caught the fever of Christian giving and decided to give themselves to the same cause wholeheartedly. Now ask yourself, how have others reacted when they find out that you are a Christian and you are a member of the Church of Christ? Do they wish to see why you are so happy and catch the fever of your zeal? Or do they see no real change in your attitude, no real change in your actions toward the world? And then they figure, well, there's nothing that I need to do. I just need to believe in God as they do, and that's it. We have to be careful about keeping that desire showing to the world at all times. Zeal can also be ignorant and misdirected. The Jews, they had the zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Romans 10, verse 2. And as a result, they went about to establish their own righteousness, as we see the world denominations do all the time. But in doing so, they have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Verse 3 of Romans chapter 10. And while it is good to have zeal in a justified endeavor, zeal without knowledge can be worse than the absence of zeal. The healthy combination is zeal and knowledge working together, because zeal motivates and knowledge governs. The false teachers in Galatia had zeal. Paul said, but no knowledge, and they only wanted to keep the Galatians away from hearing the truth. Galatians 4, verse 17. And as a Christian grace, our grace must be grounded on the right principles and directed to the right ends. Galatians 4, verse 18. Now I ask you, let's take a look at Saul of Tarsus. Now here was a man who was feared throughout the region. This man was an enemy of Christ, and he created much trouble for his body. If we were back then, we would say there is nothing good that can be done with Saul. Paul sincerely thought that he had been doing God's service when he attempted to wipe out the group of Christians. He saw it to be a threat to his own religion, and therefore he must exterminate it. And he did this with great zeal. But his zeal, even though he thought he was right, his zeal was misdirected. But the Lord saw something that we wouldn't think to look for Saul. The Lord took that zeal that he had and his great desire for doing right and used it for his own purposes. On Paul in Philippians 3, verses 5 through 7, it states that Paul was circumcised when he was 8 days old. Being from the nation of Israel and the tribe of Benjamin, he was a true Hebrew. And as a Pharisee, he strictly obeyed the law of Moses, being so eager that he persecuted the church. Because, see, this was something new to him. But since he was so desirous to stay with what he thought was right, he figured he better get rid of what might change his life. So he thought he was doing right. And whatever he was doing and everything the law demanded in order to please God. But now, on the road to Damascus, Christ let him know, Saul, you're doing wrong. I'm going to show you the right way to go. Now, Paul has the truth. He thought he was doing right, but now he has shown the true right. And when Saul found out that he was wrong, he got right. And that is good. But the best thing about Saul, now changing his name to Paul, is that his zeal did not diminish. But we see it stayed just as strong, and if not, it got even stronger. And I also might mention in Acts 18, verse 24 through 28, when Aquila and Priscilla encountered Apollos preaching so boldly the baptism of John, he had the zeal, but it was misdirected. They went to him and taught him the true gospel of Christ. And as a result of his teachable spirit, see, that's one thing in a lot of denominations. You can go to them with the truth, but unless they have that receptive, teachable spirit, they will not want to change. But Apollos here, he had a teachable spirit. And in so, the brethren at Ephesus encouraged him in his desire, his zeal, to go to Corinth in order to preach the word that was now found by him. In fact, they wrote a letter of commendation for him. As a result, he was a great help to the believers in Corinth and vigorously refuted the Jews, therefore publicly, showing that Jesus is indeed the Christ, the Son of God. Now think, can anyone write a letter for us? Does our zeal allow them to do so? You see, the denominations of the world are constantly showing their great zeal to serve God, but they are misdirected in their action. And by going on zeal, going on emotion, and going on their own thoughts, they do worship God, but it is in vain and not in the spirit and not in truth. John 4, verse 23 through 24. And if we don't realize it now, we should know that God saw something in us when he chose us. And he knew that we had it. Even though we and everyone else around us might not have seen it, but that we were worth saving. And we do have the ability to evangelize to the world, to help spread the gospel. But before we get ready to jump out and teach others that are lost, we need to get right. But not just stay right. Once we do get right, please stay right. But don't become complacent in the church. When we receive the Lord with great zeal, we obey the gospel with the same amount of zeal, and then we are added to the one true church. But if we suddenly become stagnant in our church work, personally and collectively, our zeal will become ignorant. And we can't be like that and call ourselves the true children of God. God once winked at ignorance, but now he wants everybody to repent. Acts 17, verse 30. God tells us to go into his vineyard and work, not to go there and sit down. Don't let your zeal fail God, because his zeal did not fail you. Even if all you can do is just tell somebody to come with me, I want you to hear what I have heard. I want you to come and hear the truth. It will help you in the long run. After you leave here, that's what we need to concentrate on. Not while we're here. When you leave here, that's what we work towards. That will be our true reward. Realize that it is our God-given duty to do so as a Christian. Finally, zeal can be expressed too quickly without thinking, and it can be kept back when it should be expressed. As we look to God's word, let's look at Peter as the example. We see Peter as he tended to be the outspoken apostle of most of the time. In Matthew 14, verse 28 through 31, we read in the account where the apostles were in a boat, and the wind and waves, they were about them. Christ was coming to the boat, walking on the water. And Peter saw Christ and asked him, Christ, can I come out there with you? Christ just said, come. Peter had great zeal. Because I wonder about some of us, would we just jump right out of the boat? I don't know if I would. But Peter, he jumped out the boat and started to walk on the water towards Christ. And he was looking right at Christ. But guess what? His eyes got off of Christ, and he looked to the left and to the right. might have even looked down, kind of deep when you look down. He started to sink, and frantically he cried, "Lord, save me!" The Lord took him by the hand and gently rebuked his little faith, and then brought him to the boat safely. Let's go to Matthew 16, verse 21 through 23. We have the account of Christ telling the apostles that he will be killed, but raised on the third day. Now Peter was indignant at the thought of his master enduring such treatment, and his zeal came out to protect his master. Peter seemed he wanted to take hold of him and as if to block his path, and protested, saying, "Oh, no, 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 Christ, no, no. I can't let this happen to you. This is too hard for you to go through." But Jesus' response, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Christ calling Peter Satan? In calling Peter Satan, Jesus did not imply that the apostle was demon-possessed or that he was Satan-controlled, but he simply meant that Peter's actions and words were what could be expected of an adversary. And Satan is our adversary. By protesting against Calvary, what Christ must go through in order to bring salvation to the world, Peter's zeal became a hindrance to the Savior. And in John 18, verses 10 through 11, Peter thought the time had come to use violence in an effort to save his master from the crowd. But he seemed to forget what Christ had already told him earlier. And acting without instructions from his master, he drew his sword and went towards the high priest's servant. Undoubtedly, it would seem that Peter wanted to kill somebody. But we notice the sword only cut off the ear of the high priest's servant. But the cup of suffering and the death had been given to Christ by his Father. And he, even though he prayed to God that it would pass, he knew it was God's will that he must drink from that cup. And he told Peter, "Peter, you need to step aside. This cup I must drink from. This is God's will that I'm doing. And I desire to do God's will." Do we today desire to do God's will? And even just in finishing up the story, graciously Jesus touched the ear of the victim and healed him. But you know, when it came time to really stand up for Christ, when it came time to say, "Hey, that's my Savior. He is the Son of God." We look in John 18, verse 14. Even though Peter was told by Christ that he would deny even knowing who he was, even though Peter let his zeal speak quickly and boldly to tell Christ to his face, "I will never leave you. You are my Savior. I will always stick by you." In our words, "Christ, I got your back. Don't worry about that." Even though his zeal was expressed so quick, at other times, it was lost even quicker here as he denied even knowing the man. What does this have to do with the zeal of spreading the gospel? Well, have you ever thought about this? When we become added to the Church of Christ, and we have the boldness to say, "I believe that Christ is the Son of God," to our fellow brothers and sisters in agreement, and we say, "Yes, I'm here to help spread the gospel, and we have the I know I've got the responsibility to do it," and then we show a zeal in wanting to get out and preach and teach others, do we forget we are not really speaking to our brothers and sisters? We are speaking to God and telling him we know who he is. We love him, and we won't turn our back on Christ with all our zeal, just the way Peter did. But we encounter our friends when we're on the job, when someone of the denominational world or someone just begins to speak falsely, twists or blasphemes God's word, what Do we truly do? Do we speak up? Do we defend God's word? Or do we deny him by doing nothing? Are we putting forth our zeal quicker than we should? In Peter's case, even Christ knew Peter and his heart and told him that when he was truly converted, to strengthen those around him. When Peter's zeal only partially failed, we know it did not totally fail. And that is why I say to all of us, we need to watch ourselves in our day-to-day lives. When we go through those trials and tribulations, don't let your zeal for God totally fail. Make use of your struggles that God has seen you through in order to help somebody else. It will help others if you can tell them, look, I've been through that. And God has seen me through the storms. Yes, I prayed to God that he might remove those storms from my life, but God told me, you know what, I'll tell you what, you need to go through that. And if you go through that, it's going to make you stronger. There was once two seeds, and they were blowing in the wind. One seed said, I want to go where it's always sunny. I want sunshine all the time. That's what I want. The other one said, well, I'm going to this green meadow over here. It looks pretty nice. So they parted ways, and one fell in the meadow, and one fell near a desert. Well, the desert, that had sun all the time. There wasn't any rain. That seed dried up and withered away. Now, the seed that made it to the meadow, it had sun, but there were also rain, maybe even a few thunderstorms. But that rain helped that seed to grow. When we have storms in our lives, God can see us through those storms. And if we go through those storms, we can grow tremendously. Just hold on to God's word. Have that zeal in your life. We can go through that, and God will take us there. We, as Christians, we need to have the righteous nature of zeal. See, good zeal is a lot of things, but our zeal is to show vindication, but not be vindictive. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 11. Our zeal for truth opposes wrong, but it does not seek revenge. Romans 12, verse 19. Zeal is not an envious or spiteful attitude. See, there's a young minister that I know recently. He has that eagerness. He says, I'm ready to preach. Just send me somewhere. I want to preach. But he's become a little troubled because at the times he's ready to preach, he's not given every opportunity to do so. And so now he's kind of a little heartbroken. And his manner is unbecoming of a Christian. When he needs to realize that the power is not in the messenger, it's in the message.
Amen.
The messenger is just a tool of God. The messenger is who God will use. But the message is what is the power. Just as we found out that knowledge guides zeal, the presence of love will not allow impure zeal to be produced. The scriptures teach love is kind and patient, never jealous, boastful, and proud. 1 Corinthians 3:13, verse 4. And we are to fervently love one another with a pure heart. 1 Peter 1:22. And we need to let the Holy Spirit guide us as we strive to proclaim the Father to the world. Zeal is needed to promote repentance. Revelation 3, verse 19. Paul wrote in Titus 2, verse 14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify him unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. The required acts of a Christian need zeal or desire to prompt both their execution and the manner of their implementation. These acts include to grow in the virtues that are given. 2 Peter verses chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. Noting in verses 5 and verse 10 where it says, give diligence. And that initiates and completes those acts. We are to be, we need to receive the word. Acts 17, verse 11. As the Bereans did. And did so with great zeal. They didn't just believe anything that someone brought. They heard them. But now, let me go to God's word and see if what you're saying is true. See, I will tell anybody, hear what I have to say, but don't just believe me. Go to God's word. If I'm not telling the truth, you need to study. And tell me I'm not bringing the truth. But if I am bringing the truth, why won't you believe it? The child of God is to be fervent in spirit, abounding in the work of the Lord, and do what he does heartily. Romans 12, verse 11. All of these descriptive words and phrases are indicating the zeal that we need to have as Christians. God, he is a zealous God. And he wears zeal as his mantle. He expects us to do the same for him. I'll leave you with these thoughts. Godly zeal, realize, that is commanded of us. In Revelations 3, 14 through 19, we are to be zealous, therefore, and repent. In Titus 2, 14, we are a special people, zealous for good works. In 1 Peter 4, verse 8, we are to keep fervent in your love for one another. In Jude chapter 1, verse 3, contend earnestly for the faith. Hebrews 12, verse 28, serve God acceptably with reverence and fear. Acts 20, verse 31, we should exhort one another day and night with godly zeal and desire. Let us make sure that we have zeal in our lives and use that zeal to promote the gospel that we are commanded to promote. And in so doing, we are obeying the law that God brought us. And that is the law of Christ. Galatians 4, verse 18. If we have the zeal of the Church of Christ that was in Rome, maybe Jesus will be able to say to us on that last day, as Paul said to the church at Rome in Romans 1, verse 8, I thank my Father for you. You all have done well, that your faith was spoken throughout the whole world. You've done my bidding. You have done what I've asked. You've proven your love to me. You have kept my commandments, and you have done so with great desire. Your zeal is a proof of your faith. You didn't just believe, but you let your zeal prove your faith. Your works showed me who you are. Now, come and rest. Take your reward. Rest in my arms forever. And that will complete our work of zeal. I thank you.